You want to go and take your Bibles and turn them to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, as we continue our study through the book of James. James chapter 3. This morning we're going to be touching on the topic of probably one of the smaller parts of our bodies, but the one that gets us into the most trouble oftentimes, which is our tongue and the words that we say. James goes through the first part of chapter 3 talking about one's tongue. And what he's saying by that, as we will go through here and talk about one's tongue, is he's saying about, he's relating to one's speech, one's words that we say. And James in these verses talks about how we might tame our words, that we might tame our tongue. Just as I mentioned that, you know, oftentimes our words can get us into a lot of trouble. Our words can lead us to a lot of wrong and a lot of sin as well. And as we look at this morning, it's important that just as we continue on to press to grow as believers, that continue to mature, not just our actions, but our words as well. And how are we using our tongue? How are we using our words as we speak? If you're there with me in James chapter 3, I'm going to begin by reading the first 12 verses this morning. It says in verse number 1, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we may turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships which be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, with theresoever the governor listeneth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either of vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Let's go and open in a word of prayer before we dive into this text this morning. Father, I pray that you be with us now as we go before your word. Allow our hearts to be open, allow our minds to be focused, and allow us to seek on how we might grow in you this morning. And how we might apply this to our life. And be with me, Lord, as I present your word. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As we see, James has quite a bit to say about one's tongue. And he has quite a bit to say about how it is used both right and wrong. And we see that he describes kind of what the tongue can bring into one's life, and kind of the role of one's words, and what it can do in one's life, and how it affects us, the words that we say. In the first couple verses, and especially in verses 3 through 4, we see the idea that our tongue can direct our life, that our tongue can direct our life, our words direct one's life. James tells us that our words affect our entire body. And this might seem odd that words can control or affect our entire body, but this is true because words usually lead to deeds or actions. One example of this, of our words affecting our body and kind of where they lead us to, is if you picture someone who is going out and maybe they're seeking and they're trying to find the toughest guy they possibly could. Maybe they find a biker. Maybe they find someone, you know, in the middle of the street. I don't know. And they just start throwing insults at that person and they just start completely mocking them. And then you would say, well, probably a fight's going to happen. Well, those words are what got him into that fight. His words affected his body and the steps that took him to that point. Or just by saying the word yes can lead one to various different things depending on what you agree to. Your words affect you and can affect your whole being. Sin of our tongue can lead us towards awful things as well. It surely can. And James gives some illustrations of influences that our tongue has as well. The first illustration that we see that he gives here in verse number 3 is the bit in the horse's mouth. A bit, many of you are probably familiar with, but those who aren't, a bit is put in a mouth of a horse and it helps guide and direct them as you pull on the reins and it makes them go a certain way that you want to. It makes them obey the commands that you have forth. And this, in compared to the entire body of a horse, and some horses are much bigger than others, but for the most part, horses are a very big animal. The bit's not very large in comparison. It's quite small. But that bit is able to control that wild animal and direct it. And so this makes the horse obey. This allows the horse to go where it is being guided. And so a man who can control his tongue can control where he is being led. Again, our tongue, as our words affect our life and affect us in what we say, you know, if we're able to have it under control and to guide it as that bit, we're able to guide our direction and where we're walking, where we're living. Second illustration that we see in verse number 4 is the rudder of a ship. Or in our text it says helm, but it can be translated rudder. And the rudder, for those who might not know, is a flap on the back of a ship or a boat that controls the direction that it sails. Just like the bit, the rudder is in quite small comparison to a massive, massive boat. But yet it controls the direction. It directs where it goes. And the overarching thing that James was trying to say by these two illustrations in the bit and the rudder is that these illustrations present an overcoming of a contrary force that one is to have. The bit must overcome the animal's urges. The bit must overcome what the horse might want. You know, the horse might say, wow, the grass looks pretty good over there. I'm going to go over there. But then you say, no, we need to go this way. You push on that bit and it guides the horse that way. Just like that as well in a storm, a ship that's being tossed by winds and kind of rocked back and forth. Those are contrary forces that are trying to manipulate the force and direction of that ship, but the rudder guides it correctly where it is to go. And so we see that Our tongue also faces contrary forces. Our words are often affected by a contrary force in how we ought to live in obedience to God, and that is our sin nature. It is our flesh. You know, as we live in the new life that we have through Christ and we are seeking to please Him and obey Him, we're to use our words wisely and to glorify God. But there's a contrary force that we're battling with our words sometimes. That we have to make sure that our words are under control. And that contrary force is our flesh. It's our sin nature that tries to overcome us. And you know that our words can affect so many different areas of our life. As I mentioned, as it kind of affects the whole body, our whole self. It can affect our friendships. It can affect the relationships we have. It can affect our job. It can affect our family. It can affect so much. You know, and if we are not careful, we can allow ourselves to fall into sinful speech very easily. Maybe something happens in your life and anger kind of overcomes you and you blurt something out in anger. And sometimes that can be easy, can't it? How about in a traffic jam that's been sitting still for 15 minutes? How about someone cuts you off in traffic? Traffic's a big one for a lot of people, I know. And so you're fighting that contrary force, that sinfulness, that anger that's coming upon you is trying to sway you to use words a certain way. And oftentimes when one is filled with anger, sadly, they are given over to that emotion. They're given over to that anger, and they allow it to go into their speech. They allow it to go into the words that they were speaking. But just like it takes a strong hand to lead a horse or a rudder to guide a ship through the storm, our tongue must have a strong hand in control. And we need to have ultimately Christ in control in our life. Not just in our actions, but our words as well. And you know, this isn't just an action word in words that you say, but this also is reflected in your heart, in the thoughts that you think as well. Go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, as it touches on this. Matthew chapter 12, and in verse number 34, it says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Christ there is talking about that what is in the heart comes out in our words. Remember, I talked about one who is overcome with anger, and they allow that anger to enter their heart. What happens? It comes out into their words. They allow that anger, they allow that sinfulness to take over and affect their words that they speak, including their heart and their thoughts. You know, the root issue of wrong words or sinful speech is a heart issue. I don't think, you know, just because I have great self-control that, you know, I bite my tongue really hard when I get angry. Well, what about your heart as well? What's going through your mind? What's going through your thoughts? Are you still allowing that anger, that sin to take control? Or maybe some other thing that affects our words that are, or that we've gone towards from the flesh? You know, oftentimes our thoughts is where our words begin. We should not just be concerned by the words that leave our mouth, but the words that we have in our heads. As God knows our thoughts, God knows our hearts. And what we allow to be common in our thoughts will become common in our words. And that is so very true. What you dwell on, what you allow to fester in your mind, what you allow to become common in your thoughts and your heart will eventually come out in your words. And, you know, God sees our heart. We need to be focused on not just making sure that our physical tongue isn't spewing certain things, but, you know, are we allowing our thoughts to take over that role as well? And it's not by our own control, as I mentioned. It's not by, you're not going to solve the problem of your words to, you know, making sure you say nothing bad or sinful by just biting your tongue. That's not going to work. It is through Christ and through Him that we conquer this, and we allow ourselves to be able to tame our tongue through Christ. In verse number 8, it says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." We shouldn't think that we can control this on ourselves. Verse number 8 says, the tongue can no man tame. It's through Christ. It's through Him, as those of us who have accepted, as He died on a cross and rose again for our sins, and as we might be saved through Him, as we put our faith in Him, that we have a new life in Him where we are able to conquer sin. And as we do that, not in our actions, but specifically here this morning, as we look at our words and our thoughts and the heart that goes into that as well, is that we need to be given over to Christ. We need to turn to Him. We need to turn to Him for help and allow ourselves to humbly come before Him, instead of sitting with pride and saying, I can take a handle. It's not really a big deal. It is. As we just looked at these first two illustrations, that our words can direct ourselves, that it can direct our whole bodies. You know, by the things that we agree to, by the words that we say. And so we need to be careful. We need to make sure that we are turning to Christ to help us as we live out the new life that we have in Him. You know, pray, Lord, help me in this. Give me strength. Seeking Him, reading through His word. And through Him, we have victory over the sin in our life. Not only do we see that our sin can direct or affect one's whole self, but also our tongue can set our life ablaze or on fire. Our words simply can cause destruction. Not only can our tongue lead one or direct one, but it can also destroy one or others. James begins to talk about the destructive power of our words and how they can have in our life by relating it to fire. Fire can be so destructive. A great and roaring forest fire that we might see on the news is so destructive, as it takes every single thing in its path. Homes, trees, woods, grass, it completely destroys everything in its path. And it can all start with just a very small spark or a very small fire. And our words are the same way. The destructiveness that our words can cause can be started by just a few small words or a phrase. Words have turned brothers against brothers. Words have turned relationships to their breaking points. Words have even started wars throughout history. They are destructive if used in a sinful way. And you know, looking at this and thinking about how much damage can your words be in your life? Husbands and wives, how much damage could you cause with just a few phrases in your relationship? Honestly, probably quite a bit. Parents, how much damage could you do towards your kids by the words you use towards them in just a couple phrases? And kids, how much trouble and pain could you cause towards others by the words that you say? A lot. One of the biggest causes in our world today, a statistic I found for why relationships end, the number one answer that is given by people who have ended friendships, marriages, and relationships, all of their, say the number one reason why the relationship ended was because of communication-related things. And it's because our words can be so destructive towards others around us and ourselves. Often a hot or angry head can lead one to very destructive words. As I mentioned, you know, one of the common examples that we see in one being given over to sinful words is often anger as it overtakes us, as we fall into that sin. And, you know, we see the destructive power that these words can cause. In verse number 6, we see words can not only cause destruction, but it can also defile. In verse 6, it says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body." Not only can our words destroy like a fire, but it can also defile. Our words can defile our home. Our words can defile our relationships. They can defile churches. Quite honestly, when members are given over to sin and given over to that way in their own in their words. And our words have a lasting effect, don't they? As many of you probably know, words have lasting effects. After a fire, there are still lasting effects. Even after a fire has gone through, there is still effects that is being caused by that fire. I was reminded when writing this sermon of a time that I spent in my internship when I was getting close to finishing college, and I spent it under a dear pastor, friend, and mentor, Pastor Boudreaux. And there is a church member whose house had burned quite significantly down. And I went with the pastor, and we went with the family as they went through the wreckage of their house. The fire had started. They were remodeling. It was an old Victorian home. It was a quite large home. It was a younger couple who was taking it on to restore it to its original beauty. And the husband was upstairs in the bathroom, and he had the attic hatch open, and he was putting some extra supports in the attic in the structure. And he had his saw right below as he was cutting wood and cutting other things. And unbeknownst to him, that while he was cutting the wood, that an ember went from that wood, from the heat of the saw, into the insulation in the attic. And it festered there for quite a while. They had actually finished and they had gone downstairs while it started to ablaze in their attic. And the aftermath of that fire, by the time the fire department was able to put it out, probably 2/3 of the house was completely unusable, unwalkable. The only side of the house that was still usable was one of the newer additions that was put on that was kind of on its own a little bit. It was connected by a hallway. And so we were walking through there, and they were seeing what could they save, their couches, their TVs, their furniture, you know, what you would have. What could they save? And as we were walking through, we quickly learned there was not much we could save at all. Fire never touched that room, never even touched close to that part of the house. But the amount of smoke that went through it completely defiled all the furniture. It covered the walls black. It covered their pictures. And it was all destroyed. That fire defiled that house and the things that the flame didn't even touch. It had lasting effects. And when our words are spoken, there is no talking them back. There's no saying, "Ooh, put that back in. I didn't mean to say that." When our words are spoken, they are out. And they can cause so much damage. They can defile relationships. They can defile ourselves and others around us. And by what we say. And it's so important that we have a tame tongue. Because once we say certain things, they're out there. Have you ever had a time in your life where you've said something and you instantly thought, "I wish I would not have said that"? I have. More than once. And that's why it's so important that we are seeking to have our tongue tamed, to allow ourselves not to be given over by sin in this area. You know, I think it would be very fair to apply this not to just our own words that we speak as well as we live in kind of a digital age, but also on what we put online, what we text each other, what we write in letters as well would apply, I think, very fairly apply to this as we are still expressing our hearts through those ways towards other people. So don't think that it's a loophole. I didn't say it to him. I texted it to him. It makes it better. No, it didn't. And you know, when you truly look at the destructiveness and the defilement that our words can cause, you know, we see the importance on maintaining control. We see the importance of having a tame tongue that we might continue and prosper in our relationships and with our family. That we might continue, that we might not hurt others as well. You know, those who we love, those who we are, you know, interacting with, that we seek to love them rather than hurt them. And seek that we as well, that we are not ones that are falling into sin. In verse number 7, James talks about taming one's tongue. He says, "For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things of the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind." He explains that every animal can be tamed and has been tamed. But we see that this is not the same cause for the tongue, as we've already looked at in verse number 8. We on our own cannot conquer sin. You know, as we seek to go off and say, "I'm going to go do this on my own. I'm going to go and fix this problem all by myself." Well, it has a root of pride, doesn't it? And thinking we are better in that way, that we can do that. You know, just as we look at the first point of Christ being the strong hand to control our tongue, we can tame our tongue through him. We can have victory over this. If you are here today and you have not yet accepted Christ, I'd encourage you. You know, you hear about taming one's tongue. We as believers, as we live a new life through Christ, through his salvation, and we can conquer this sin through him and through as he strengthens us through the Spirit. You know, if you don't know Christ your Savior, you can have everlasting life. You can have salvation, but also a new life in him that is separate from sin. A tamed animal can be a great worker. A tamed fire can provide warmth and energy. And a tamed tongue can provide and be used amazingly by God. Our tongue isn't what's wrong. Our words that we are able to speak is not what's wrong. It's how we are using them. It goes back to our hearts. Are our hearts given over to our flesh and emotion? Are we allowing that sin to come into our life? You know, not just by looking at the aspect of emotion as well, but you know, one way that oftentimes wrongful thoughts can enter our minds is when we're not guarding what we're hearing. We're not guarding what we are surrounding ourselves with. What are you surrounding yourself with? Entertainment? What are you surrounding yourself with? Conversations with others? What are you surrounding yourself with? Music? All of these are influences to our life if we are not careful. And again, as we allow those things in our heart and in our thoughts, we see them come out in action in our words. We need to make sure that we are not allowing sin to take control of the words that we say and think, but to be striving to live for Christ and allow our hearts, minds, and words to be set after him. The last few verses that we read this morning, verses 9 through 12, shows us that our tongues can glorify God. As I mentioned, our tongues can be used for greatness. It can be used to glorify God, to serve him. So far, we've gone over quite a bit over the dangers and warnings and destructiveness and kind of in the negative about our tongues, but our tongues can also be used for great things. I bet if I was to take a poll and ask everyone, you know, how did you first hear about salvation? How did you come to know the Lord? I bet quite a majority of you would say, well, I had a friend or I had a family member, I had a coworker who witnessed to me, who said this to me, who pointed me to Scripture by the conversations that we had. Our tongues can be used for greatness. It can be used to serve God, to be a testimony and a witness to other people. Also, when we sing praises, when we were singing this morning, as we were going through our service, that our words, our tongues were able to sing praises to God and to worship him. We're also able to do his will in our life to accomplish that and so much more. When we are glorifying God with our tongues, though, we must be careful to not allow it to become inconsistent. You see, there's two categories here. One, our thoughts and words, and ultimately our heart, are allowing sin to direct ourselves. One over here is that we are allowing our words, our mind, and our hearts to be focused on Christ and striving to live by him, for him and living by the word of God. Two very, very, very different groups and areas in how our tongues can be used. And James gives many examples of one who is both praising God, one who is serving God by using their words, And then he also talks about this same person who is sinning with their tongue as well. James says in verse number 10, these things ought not to be. Like James illustrates, does a spring produce fresh water and salt water? No. And so it is as we as believers, we are to glorify God, not just with our words when we come into contact with other believers, not just with our words when we come here to church on Sundays and Wednesdays to say, you know, I am now going to speak differently. I'm going to speak in a way that is pleasing unto God. And then when I go during the rest of my week, I'm going to allow my thoughts and my words to be elsewhere. Living two different lives, almost. James says this ought not to be. We are not called to serve God with half of our life. We're not called to live for Him only on things that we want to give up. We are called to serve God in every single area of our life. We're called to be holy, which means separate, set apart from sin, as Peter tells us. To not allow it to have any place in our life. Not allowing sin to have any type of foothold in our life. Sometimes it can seem easy to just come to church and to sing hymns and praises to God and then go right back into your car as you leave and to argue and fight and to criticize and to speak with anger toward your family members. Often a joke is that I've heard it, and maybe you've heard it, is you see a family coming to church, arguing the whole way, they get out to church, they're the happiest family that could ever be. They get back in the car and it goes right back to fighting, right back to anger. This all not to be. We must give ourselves completely over to God in how we live. Like I've already said, as it comes down to a heart issue, it comes down to do we have our hearts completely set on God? Are there areas in our heart that we've allowed sin to have a foothold? That we've allowed certain areas of things that maybe we're not willing to give up? And we allow that sin to fester in our thoughts and our minds. We're called to live completely for Him. And can I say something? If you are here this morning and you're saying, I am really struggling. I am really struggling to keep my tongue and my thoughts under control. Can I encourage you to go to make sure that you're going to God and pray? Pray for Him to give you strength, to give you wisdom. Prayer should not be our last resort, but it's something that we go to God with right away. And secondly, oftentimes it is said, and it's hard to just completely stop thinking about something and saying, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to allow that into my life. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about that. And I don't know how many of you ever tried that, just repeating, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about it. Well, what do you end up thinking about? That thing. In Philippians chapter 4, we get an idea of what we might have our mind set upon. In Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to be jumping into, Paul is talking about to believers to be anxious, don't worry for anything, but to go in prayer to God for everything. And he's saying, replace that worry, replace that stress that you have going through your mind with godly things. Again, the idea of, you know, if you're struggling to get certain thoughts out of your head or certain things and how you surround yourself, it's not that we just say we're going to empty them out of our minds. It's that we put on, as we see through Scripture, that we put on the new life that we have in Christ, that we're not just taking off sinfulness, but we're putting on godly character. In verse number 7 of chapter 4 in Philippians, it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." And so we see that we have our mind. We don't just rip out sinful thoughts and things that we have in our life, but we replace them with things that are striving after God and His Word. I've known people who have struggled with their speech before, and they've struggled with their thoughts. And one thing that I have heard work tremendously is that they recite God's Word. When you find yourself struggling in an area, maybe you're in that traffic jam, and you start to allow anger to take control, and you say, "No, stop," and you repeat Scripture, you meditate on God's Word. Allow that to take the place from allowing sin in your life. Have a focus on Him and His Word. I've known some people who have carried around flashcards with Bible verses on them to help them with their struggle as well. And if you are struggling, I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to be in God's Word, to be in prayer to Him and helping you through this, and to meditate on His Word. Replace those sinful thoughts with thoughts of God and His Word. In this passage, James goes over the dangers of one's tongue. And as I mentioned, our tongue can cause so much damage, destruction, and defilement in our life. It can lead us to areas of further sin. And that is why it is such an important thing to make sure that we are living correctly with. And you know, as I mentioned before, if you're struggling with this, go to Him in prayer and replace those thoughts and those words with God. Godly thoughts, thoughts that are focused on Him and His Word. And I encourage you that, you know, oftentimes our words are looked at as something, well, as long as I don't say it out loud, no one will ever know. It's all good. God knows your heart. God sees your thoughts. And again, though I might not be able to tell, though others around you might not be able to tell what's going on in your heart and what's going on in your thoughts, what you're saying when you leave church, what you're saying on a Monday morning, I have no idea. But God does. And we are not called to just serve Him when we want to live a holy life in areas that we are willing to give up, but we are called to completely put on the new life that we have in Him, putting off sin and our old selves, and to completely be living for God in every aspect, in every thought, in every being of ourselves, day by day. Let's go and close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank You for Your Word. And Father, I pray that you be with us this morning. Allow us to guard our hearts, Lord, from influences around us, of sinful and worldly influences. Allow us not to allow ourselves to be overcome by sin in our thoughts, in our heart, in our words. Lord, allow us to be consistently serving and seeking after you, Lord. And Father, if there's anyone here who is struggling with this, I pray that you give them strength as they go and to try to put off this sin in their life. And Lord, give us strength day by day, as often the temptation of emotions and other sinful things come into our life. Allow us not to allow them into our hearts, our thoughts, and our words. But allow us to be directed on you. Allow our minds to be directed towards you, Lord. And allow us, in every aspect of our life, be believers who are seeking to live for you. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.